Welcome, rock stars, from Rockland USA Studios in Washington, D.C. This is Rock on the Money. Time to talk about saving, investing, and protecting all of those hard-earned monies. We're here to give you ideas, answer your questions, keep you updated on your path to retirement and financial independence. I'm Craig, your Dave Ramsey Master Financial Coach, along with Amanda, our in-house lawyer and real estate agent, and we're so grateful you've joined us. Call or text your questions or comments 24 hours a day to 989-888-ROCK, 989-888-7625. Check us out on Facebook and Instagram at Rock on the Money, or our website at rockonthemoney.com. You got the corona, Amanda?
Not yet.
Well, good. Kind of hard to get it when you don't leave the house.
I left the house yesterday for the first time in 11 days.
Whoa!
I had to go pick up some takeout for my birthday dinner.
Aw, happy birthday. Thank you. Many people were posting happy birthday in our group?
Thank you.
Yeah.
But it was very... So up until then, I hadn't really had any impact from these stay-at-home and social distancing orders because that's how I live my normal life,
yeah.
Working from home. But that was when it really hit me, was when I went out and parking lots everywhere are just deserted, and it was really kind of creepy.
I still travel. I'm in the airports. I'm in the hotels. I'm in these big cities, and there's nobody around. It's weird.
It's kind of like a dream, right?
I love it. You know,
yeah. So that was really the first time it really kind of hit home for me. Otherwise, this is kind of just business as usual for me.
What's going on in this podcast?
Well, we've got a couple of social media questions that we'll start out with. And then we're going to, we have a couple of quick topics today.
The first is like choosing
choosing a financial advisor. And then also we'll talk about 0% interest-free financing. Hmm. And then today's Savvy Savings segment is on car fleecing.
Wow. We're hitting a lot of auto stuff on this podcast.
Hey, yeah.
I do have an announcement to make.
Okay.
Drum roll. The new website is now up and running.
Awesome.
It's got little quirks that a lot of you guys can't see. It's stuff I have to do on the back end, but I think it's running a lot faster.
Even with everyone in the world using bandwidth today.
Oh my God. I'm trying to watch TV. I have a YouTube TV with Roku, and I get that little spiral thing every now and then. I'm like, what the hell? Because so many people in my neighborhood are home. Everybody's online, just draining my... I've never, ever had that before.
Yeah.
So, social media question one. Here we go. You'll like this one. I'm currently coaching them, by the way. When you hear this, we're not advising. We're coaching. There is a big difference. I'm not telling them what to do. I'm just telling them what I do.
Right.
And you all can do what you're going to do. But this is really, this is the worst case scenario I've heard as far as a financial advisor and how many funds that these people are in. You ready for this?
I am.
So it's not really a social media question. It's just a situation. So this listener of ours is currently in 17 mutual funds within their 457.
That's like at least 13 too many.
I've never heard of anyone. I've heard of a lot of 8 to 12s, but not 17. So this financial advisor that they're paying is
their financial advisor is making bank.
Oh, well, they claim they're only making $300 per quarter to manage it. But I explained to them how it really works. The husband is
$300 per quarter. So they're paying them $1,200 a year to manage.
And that doesn't include the commissions and the back end commissions that they're getting from selling all these different mutual funds. You know what I'm saying? A lot of people don't realize there's back end money. Even though you're paying $300 a quarter, they're also making commissions off the sale of those funds that you're now in. So there's a lot of ways to make money.
Did any of them beat the S&P 500 last year?
Oh, no. Only two. Yeah. Only one, actually.
So you could have made more money and saved from paying fees just by doing it yourself.
Yeah. So let me go over the situation here. The husband's 49, and let me go over what they're currently in. So just in the international category, they're in four international funds.
Okay.
So if you go in the major categories, you have growth, you have small, mid cap, and all these, they have like
three, four, or five in these categories, and I just picked two at random, like in the mid cap. The stocks that are within some of these funds, are they identical same stocks? So yeah, they're basically duplicating efforts, which further helps justify my theory that they're making commissions on each of these funds. Because you get down in the nitty gritty, which is what I do, it's the same stocks. So why are you doing both of these funds? It makes no sense. So I went and looked through there. And I said, look, if this was my mix, these are the two funds that match up what I currently do with mine. And you can do what you want to do. And one of them was the index fund. It was a Vanguard index fund was in there. And then there was a T. Rowe Price blue chip fund, which does outperform the index by a couple percent. I said, you know, here's two large cap funds. You don't need this money. And here's why they don't need this money, Amanda. We've talked about this in previous podcasts. He has a pension, a fully funded pension. He's in public safety. And this is his 457. And they said they don't need this money. I'm like, you're 49. Let's go for it. Large cap growth mutual funds, which is what Dave Ramsey recommends as well. Growth stock funds. Okay. And this is what we've said. Ad nauseum.
Ad nauseum. Which means talking about it so much is going to make us nauseous.
Yeah. And we're 31 episodes in saying the same exact thing. I told them these two funds, I recommend it. So here's a follow-up thing. They contacted their financial advisor at Nationwide. Okay. And they said, hey, they wanted their investment move. They went 50-50 split between the Vanguard Institutional Index Fund, which I'm currently in, by the way, in a 457, and a T. Rowe Price blue chip fund. And he said it's in a pro account. He's going to have to remove that feature so he can do it himself. It'll take a couple of days to happen. Isn't that interesting, by the way? It takes a couple of days to change a computer mark on there. But the husband asked his opinion on what our recommendation was. And he said it's not a great move, that we'd lose money because it's very aggressive.
Based on what?
I hate these shit. They scare people with these weird tactics like that. With
these weird claims, based on zero evidence.
He's talking around the wrong person losing money. The advisor is going to be losing the money, not him. And typically when we come out of a situation, I don't know what time everybody's listening to this. This is March 2020, coronavirus time, and the market dipped down. There's a lot of talk. When we come out of this, we'll have 1 to 2 years of growth after that. Stock market typically always goes higher after a situation like we're going through now. So if you're in these growth funds, he will do very well.
Yeah, I believe it.
Everybody I listen to that I trust, these are big name advisors that are on CNBC and stuff like that. Same people I listen to. They're all saying the same thing. Anyway, so I just wanted to kind of go over that real quick. If you're in a bunch of mutual funds, 17 is, to me, just ludicrous. That's just...
It's at least 13 too many. So, Craig, we generally go towards one investment, the S&P 500 fund.
As our core.
You have talked before about how at a certain airline, in which we have a number of members in our group that all are employed by a certain airline, there's another fund available that has historically outperformed the S&P. So you do a 50-50 on that.
And that Dave other Ramsey, one is killing it.
And Dave Ramsey recommends four, and I'll let you talk to those four, but that is the most. It's like four should be your maximum number of funds.
And
not Ramsey, 17, that's ludicrous.
Absolutely. You've over diversified. What I always say is I let the funds diversify. I don't diversify my funds.
Right.
If you get into the nitty gritty, like I've done for over a decade, I go into each fund and look at the actual stocks. What's the top 10 stocks? You see there's duplication of effort. So why do you have all these different funds? A lot of these advisors and people that sell this stuff, they're not going to tell you that. They're counting that you don't know what you're doing and they're taking advantage of you. That's my opinion. Mm-hmm. Not all of them are bad people. We're going to talk about how to pick financial advisor later on, by the way, just so we're not leaving everyone hanging out there. So, but the four funds that Ramsey, they're all growth stock funds. There's an international in there, growth. I mean, it's all growth stocks. So we're not.
It's all growth.
But typically, your 401k does not have what he recommends. So we're looking for the S&P 500 and one that does a little bit better. If there's another one that does better, then we'll do a three-way split. But it all depends what you have. And typically, it's all your large cap funds. So, anyway. Social media question two. You ready?
Yes.
That was drawn out. I'm sorry. But it, to me, it's very important. Very important. Number two. Hey, guys. Hi.
Hi.
What are your thoughts about refinancing my home with a cash payout or pulling money from my 401k? I have debt due to not being able to work as much because I was caretaking my parents. I need about $40,000. I want to zero out everything, all my debt, to have no stress. I am 61 years old.
No.
Okay. I guess we can get on to the topics for the day. No, go ahead. Do you want to? You're thinking.
What do you think, Craig?
Now, in 40,000,
you're going to put your four walls at risk?
Yeah.
No. Absolutely not. You need to find that money some other way. And pulling from your house by refinancing and cashing out is a terrible idea in almost every situation. I would encourage you to refinance for a better rate, but not take any cash out.
Right.
And so that you could reduce your payment there if you had to while you're in baby step number two, getting rid of this debt. I would definitely not pull any money out of your 401k, especially since you're 61 and nearing retirement. This is not the time to bankrupt that fund, especially since in my opinion, and again, you get what you pay for here.
It's free.
It's free. But in my opinion, we're on the cusp of another great run. So I would not touch anything in there. If you need $40,000, you need to go back and listen to some of our other episodes, get some ideas on how to increase your income and reduce your expenses. You know, refinancing for a lower payment, and make sure you refinance for the lesser of however many years are still left on your current mortgage, or 15 years max. So if you only have 12 years left, 12 years is the maximum you should be refinancing for. You're not going to refinance for 30 years just so you can get a super low payment. That's really where I land on this one, Craig.
It really scares me that at 61, you want to go deeper into debt by $40,000 by doing a HELOC or whatever you want to call it on your house.
Yeah, I mean, you're playing a shell game. You're just moving the debt around, right? You're not paying it off. So that's not the answer.
And pulling money from your 401k that you need for retirement, I would never touch that. And I'm seeing more and more people wanting to. Now, I get it.
Well, and we talked, what was it, the last episode or the episode before, about how what a terrible idea it is to loan from your 401k?
I think it was the last 10 episodes. This question keeps coming up.
No, but I mean in detail.
And people want to argue with me online. I'm like, no. I realize there are people out there having a really hard time right now. They've lost their jobs, bartenders, waiters, waitresses, housekeepers. There's a lot of people in the service industry are not working, and they can't work at home because they're in the service industry. Mm-hmm. I get it. You're hurting. But you know what? There are many places hiring right now as we're recording this podcast, and it may not be the job that you want, but you can get a job right now. They are everywhere. You can deliver food. You can work at Target, Walmart, Costco. All these places are hiring. Amazon's hiring. They're hiring hundreds of thousands of people at Walmart right now. 150,000 right now.
I feel conflicted about that, Craig. And part of this is because, you know, if you are at risk or have an underlying condition, I don't know that I would advise you to go out and get a job that puts you into
I'm talking situation. In general. Okay, so I just went to Costco the other day. Nobody was there, by the way. Fully stocked. Right. It was awesome.
Yep.
As you enter, they have pallets of wood at the entrance, and there's a guy there flagging you, alternating the customers as you come in to keep them. They're already teaching you to stay apart. You can't do a single file line. And there's a guy there cleaning the cart, handing it to you. That's his job. He cleans the cart and hands it to you. Yeah. And everywhere you go in there, everybody was keeping their distance. The workers will not, like, I had to get some, I cashed in my credit, my points from my Costco shopping last year. I got $320. Mm-hmm. I hand the paper. That girl kept her arm out. I could not get near her. Went and got the cash and handed it to me. And
did you fold it into a paper airplane and throw it at her?
I almost had to. I mean, you could tell she did not want me near her, which is fine. That's what's supposed to happen. And that may be in the state of Maryland that they're required to do that now to stay open. Most places are closed. But anyway, I totally understand what you're saying. They are 61. I was just making a general comment for people that do work restaurants and are healthy and are able to go work. I would do that way before I'd take out $40,000 if you had no underlying conditions.
Yeah, I would. And I just mentioned that just because there are a lot of these positions do have that layer of risk in it, but there's also a lot of places hiring that don't. So don't be discouraged or dissuaded just because you don't want to be in contact with people. There are other options out there for sure. All right.
That's it for our questions today, because we have a lot of topics and stuff to go over.
Okay. Well, let's do one topic before our break.
Okay. How about choosing a financial advisor, since we kind of touched on it earlier?
after we completely smashed the financial advisor in the first question.
Yeah. Yeah. And I want everyone to understand how to pick one. The reason why I wanted to go over this really quickly, and we're just going to fly through this because we've talked about this like in our first 10 episodes. I'm watching TV. I don't watch a lot of TV. I'm too busy, but I do keep CNBC on a lot. And I have turned on CNN in the hotel rooms that I'm at. And what I'm noticing is there's a lot of ads for financial advisors, and they have that sweet music and showing the caring that they do. And they just, and they are preying on people, because you guys are looking at your 401k, and we told you not to. So you're looking at it. And you see the amount of value you lost, and you're scared. You're like, crap, I'm not doing it right. Well, here's something I want y'all to understand. Everybody lost money. Everybody lost money. Actually, we lost value. We didn't lose money. But it's going to come back. Leave it alone. But they're preying on you because you feel bad. You're like, I lost $40,000. What am I going to do? So you instantly see these ads on TV. You're like, I need to call them. Maybe they can help me.
Right. Okay?
And that's not going to really do anything for you. They're just going to move stuff around and make you feel better and come up with a plan. I'm not saying all of them are like that, but do you really, really need that? If you do, we'll give you a few tips.
Well, I have 3 framed degrees on my wall, and I'm not using a financial advisor.
I have 0 degrees, and I don't have a financial advisor.
I could afford one if I really wanted one, but I don't see a need for one.
And I definitely could afford one. I'm 7 figures, but I don't need one. I'm doing a podcast. That would seem kind of
weird.
Well,
you're like a one-upper, huh?
Yeah, but I don't have any degrees. I have a lot of hours and stuff like that, and classes, they just don't add up.
They don't add up to anything except for your 7 figures.
Yeah, but I've done it, Anyway.
Yeah. All right. How do we choose a good financial advisor?
Well, first, I just want to tell you, 100% of financial advisors that were polled by CNBC recently during this coronavirus all said the same thing we've been saying. Just don't touch your 401k. Going to a financial advisor is not going to change that. I mean, they're willing to touch it. You don't need to touch it. All you need to do is continue your regular contributions from your paycheck. The same thing we've been doing, telling you to do, just do that. Now, that said, don't get sucked up in all these ads. If you want a Pfizer, I believe there's 2 options. One of them is recommended by Consumer Reports, but let me talk about an option that I've come up with. Okay, Amanda? Mm-hmm. First, you can go to one of our low-cost providers, our favorite ones, and we get nothing from these guys to talk about them. Don't think this is an ad for Vanguard whatsoever. They should be an advertiser, Amanda. As much as we talk about Schwab, Fidelity, or Vanguard, go to either of those. They all have this low-cost financial advisor option, okay? And a lot of them are only 0.3%. That's a very low fee to have somebody walk with you and come up with a plan. Only 0.3%.
Less than $300 a month?
Yeah. Well, I guess it depends on your you know, your balance, but I'm going to use Vanguard as an example. And once again, we get nothing from these guys, okay? But Vanguard does have an advisory service, okay? And they charge 0.3%. In essence, it could be less than that, Amanda, because they're going to put you in a bunch of Vanguard funds after talking to you, and they'll do a video chat with you. You don't have to go to an office. You can do it from your house, so you can do that social distancing thing. And they're going to talk to you, find out what your plan is, how many years you need before you need your money. They'll create a plan, and then you look over and say, yeah, that looks good, and then they'll put you in it. It'll be a bunch of Vanguard funds. Most of these Vanguard funds are 0.01, 0.04%. They're basically free. They really don't cost anything. So it'll be a plan of Vanguard funds. That's how that works. So go check out Vanguard Advisory Services. That's just one option. I'm not promoting them. I'm just saying that is one of the options you can do, okay? And I'd be okay with that. At least I know you're not getting ripped off paying 1%, 2%, and then you're getting an advisor who's making back-end deals.
Yeah.
Now, option two is what Consumer Reports recommends, what we've recommended for years. We have an article on the website at rockonthemoney.com telling you the same exact thing. If you go to the Garrett PlanningNetwork.com. Just Google Garrett Planning Network, because that's a they should come up with a longer address, Amanda. That would probably help. GarrettPlanningNetwork.com.
That's G-A-R-R-E-T-T PlanningNetwork.com.
There you go. The reason why we like this is the advisors on this website are all fee only. Fee only. It's not a percentage.
This is like a flat fee. They don't get commissions.
And this is what we've always recommended. And this is what I would prefer you doing. Even it would be no different than Amanda. You're a lawyer. I come to your office and say, hey, can you tell me about
Well, you wouldn't come to my office because I only work for a corporation. But you could go to Sam's office, the attorney we had on a few weeks ago.
About a family
issue. And she actually does have a flat fee model for estate planning, those power of attorneys, will drafting. It's all on flat fee.
Right. I mean, some do by the hour, but some will do fee only. And, you know, there's no other additional costs. You just do the thing. But anyway, so fee only means with a financial advisor, they are prohibited by receiving commissions or any other compensation from anyone else for the sale of financial products or services. 100% of what they make is paid for directly by you as the fee. That is the key. And that's how you are a true fiduciary, in my opinion. There is no bias to whatever they're selling you. They're going to listen to what you want, and they're going to put together a plan and say, look, buy these and that will get you where you want to be. And they're getting nothing on the back end for it. That's why fee only is the way to go.
Okay.
Anything else you want to say on that?
No.
So all you got to do is go to the website, you put in your zip code, and a list of advisors that are part of the Garrett Planning Network. They're all over the United States. You can go through there and then you can call them and interview them on the phone or go visit them and pick the one that you know you feel comfortable with, and then pay the fee and do your thing there. You know, just don't go by because Karen at work said, oh, you should go to my guy. I did really well, or he made me a ton of money. Those two comments I hear all the time, and they drive me batty when people say, oh, I did well, or he made me a ton of money. What does that mean?
Everybody made money last year.
Everybody made money. Just you have nothing to compare that to. I mean, if you want to compare that to the S&P 500 index, if the index last year made what, 31%? And you did 17? No, you did not do well. You must at least meet the index. If you can beat that, I'll pay that advisor all day if you can beat the index. Absolutely. They earn it. But if you can't beat a simple index, I ain't paying you. That's my bottom line. Anyway, that's all I wanted to go over. And GarrettPlanningNetwork.com for fee-only advisors. Once again, they are not a sponsor. Matter of fact, nobody's a sponsor here, Amanda.
Speaking of which, we are now soliciting sponsors.
Yes, actually. I have put feelers out there for advertisers, but I will not allow financial ads.
Advisors, yeah.
No, yeah. I think now if somebody wants to sell razors or something like that, doesn't conflict with what we do. I think it's it you get in a weird area if you start promoting T. Rowe Price or anything. Yeah. Yeah, that to me, that just it just doesn't. I don't know. It takes away from our credibility or the perception of it. So anyway. All right. So you want to take a break real quick and then we'll come back.
Yeah, let's do a break.
And then we're going to talk about 0% interest financing deals. That sounds like an awesome program. Probably not if we're talking about it. And then we have Savvy Savings. And what are you going to talk about?
I'm going to talk about car fleeces.
Ugh, I hate leasing. Ugh, you said fleecing.
Yeah.
All right. We'll find out what all that's about. Coming up next, you're listening to Rockin' the Money with Craig and Amanda. To Rock on the Money. Don't forget, we have a brand new website, all redone. It basically operates the same way as the last one. It's just a cleaner look. It'll allow us to do a lot more. Plus, we have a new podcast getting ready to come out.
What?
Not by me. I wonder who it's by. So, and also, don't forget, we are getting close to the end of the month. There are only a few days left in March 2020.
So that's right, still for our big drawing March, for the voicemail.
Yeah, so if you leave a voicemail question, don't worry, no one's going to answer the phone. Just record your financial question, and if we use it in March, our last episode could be a bunch of phone calls. That'd be awesome, actually.
Yeah, it would.
We're giving away at random a gift card to Amazon or Walmart. And here's where that Amazon-Walmart thing is actually working out now. Because if you order something on Amazon, you could wait a month for that item right now, unless it's a priority item.
Yeah.
So you might have to go to Walmart, your local Walmart, to buy stuff. Like food. People need toilet paper. So.
Apparently.
Yeah. All right. Time for a topic.
0% interest financing deals.
Well, that sounds like an awesome thing. I don't know if you watch a lot of TV. Are you seeing a lot of these automakers with their 0% ads now?
Yeah. I don't really watch a lot of TV. I have it on in the background a lot of days, but I'm so busy actually focusing on what I'm doing. I don't really pay attention.
I literally roll my eyes to these ads. Ford, GM, they're all like, we're here to help you by giving you 0% financing on this brand new truck. Yeah. I'm like, oh, you got to be kidding me. Now, I will give credit to Toyota. Toyota shows a lot of pictures of Americans and blah, 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 and rah, rah, rah. But they mention nothing about 0% or come down to the dealership or anything. They just show, we'll be here, and then they just show a truck at the end. But there's nothing about selling it. So I have to give them credit for that. I really do. Mm-hmm. They're not pushing. But the other automakers, oh, no. They're pushing that 0% and also fleecing, which you'll talk about as well.
Yep. Up next.
Getting into this 0% interest thing, it's human nature that we don't like people telling us what we can and cannot do with our money, which means a lot of people really don't like. Well, yeah, exactly. I mean, that's probably why a lot of people don't like our podcast, because we're telling everybody what they're supposed to be doing with their money. Human nature is you can't tell me what I can and cannot buy. And we will tend to justify everything we want to buy. Things like the latest iPhone or latest truck or, I need an SUV because I have a baby on the way, which totally makes no sense whatsoever. Because people say,
unless you have a sports car.
But people will justify the big SUV because they say it's safer than the Honda Accord, which is totally not true. But people will justify buying a pickup or something like that. Let's dig in this 0% financing ads that we're seeing all over the place. And it's all based on this 2020 coronavirus situation we're going through. So we all know how banks make money. How do they make money, Amanda?
Charging interest on loans.
So how is it possible that these banks and these loaners are making money at 0%? Well, is it quite possible that the price of the products have it built in? chances are pretty high.
That's possible.
Yeah. That's a possibility. Most of the 0% car deals out there are bait and switch. And people are going to want to argue with us, Amanda, over this. But these are the facts. Because very few people at the end of the day leaving the lot will come out with a 0% rate based on their credit scores or all a host of other things. Almost no one, as a matter of fact, unless they pay the full manufacturer's suggested retail price, will get that 0% deal. Now, I know there's going to be little cases out there, but in general, that is how it all works. They're going to make money off of that deal. So how about electronics? Here's some stats for you. Did you know 88%, which is basically 9 out of 10 people who buy like a big screen TV at Best Buy and get the 90-day same as cash deal?
Yeah.
After 90 days, they still don't have any money? Why is that
shocking?
And they
haven't been making payments.
If you had the money in the first place, you wouldn't be doing 90 days same as cash. People that
it's
jump
pretty simple.
On this,
if you don't have the money, don't buy it.
Right. But people jump on that like, oh, it's 9 days in. And they factor in their head, they justify it like, well, I'll just work some overtime and I'll pay for this. Well, they end up not working the overtime. Hey, firefighters, working callback. That's how they make their money, extra money to buy toys. And then after 90 days, they still don't have it. So what ends up happening is then they offer you, well, we'll finance it for you. So that's how, if you don't pay for it, it rolls into a 27 or as high as 38% interest rate loan on that TV.
And they're banking on that.
And 88% of the people, that's what happens. Now, a lot of people
Goes back to your original purchase amount and or however much you haven't paid off and from day one.
Right. It goes back. So, and that's the same way with vehicles as well. Companies offering these kinds of financing have research data that tells them a vast majority of you who take out 0% loans will not pay them off in agreed upon time period. So what happens?
Right, because something else comes up and you say, well, it's not costing me any interest on this other loan. So you give priority to something else and you don't pay off your 0% loan.
Because life happens, Amanda. And most of these people also don't have emergency funds. The emergency funds keep this from happening. If you go through our baby steps that we're
none of our people, because our people are going through baby steps.
Absolutely. So what happens at the end of the contract of 0% if you don't pay it off, or if you sometimes if you miss a payment, if you don't hit those payments and you're late on one of them, it does go back to the front and then you end up with the other default rate. And you need to look at the paperwork because some of those rates are very high, even on a new vehicle or a TV or anything. A lot of this is done in-house financing by the company itself, like GMAC or even Best Buy does their own financing. And a lot of them will keep all those profits. That's a big profit driver for them. That's how they make a lot of their money. And the other financing is sold out to other finance companies that buy this debt, and then they're going to service it with their new terms. So again, people don't just get sucked into this 0% thing. It's not 0%. You're paying for it in another way. You should be, if you don't have the money, as Amanda said, right? Don't buy it. I know that sounds weird, but it is how boomers. What was the generation before that? The greatest?
I think so.
Your grandpa, grandma, that's how they used to shop. But in modern times, we have all these different techniques. It's so corporate American to make their money. That's just how it works. I'm not saying they're bad. They give you the option. We just don't want you to do that. And you know why? Debt destroys your most powerful wealth building tool, which is your income. That's why we stress so much. If you would just be debt free, at least you can have the mortgage 15 year. But we're talking about the consumer debt. If you could keep that out of there, you would be shocked how much extra money you have every month. It is really amazing. I can attest to it. Amanda, you can probably attest to that.
Oh, for sure.
It's amazing. It's like, how do I end up with all this money at the end of the month? I got my paycheck. I paid my bills, my electric stuff. I still have money. It is a great feeling. It really is. Anyway, I think we killed that.
We did. Yeah.
But please, people, there's a lot of ads. They're hitting the airwaves and they're preying on you right now.
And not just that, there's a lot of scams out there right now. Not just these ads, which are legitimate ads, but predatory. There are actual legitimate scams out there. You know, if you're getting phone calls, the government's not going to ask you for any money over the phone, number one. So your health department, local health department, isn't going to call you and tell you to come and get a, or that they'll send you a coronavirus at home test if you just give them $4.95 over the phone. Yeah. You know, think everyone's in a panic, and we no one thinks right when you're in panic, but let's try and be rational here. That the same types of things that people were, or the same tactics that were being used before for scams and fraudulent behavior, are still being used. The content is just changing to map to this new fear.
Yep. So.
All right.
On
to savings.
Yes.
Car fleecing. So I'm calling it, so this is obviously about leases, yes, but I'm calling it car fleecing. That's what Dave Ramsey calls it. And I'm just going to stop for a moment here and let you know that Dave Ramsey is actually offering some really great special offers right now. He is also not a sponsor of the show.
No.
But I did see that during this time, his organization is providing a number of helpful tools to get people through. One of them is the Total Money Makeover audiobook download for $1.99.
Wow.
Which is just insane, because normally it's $24.99. I actually just finished reading that myself, and it's, you know, it's a very good book. It goes over the foundations that Craig and I have been talking about related to the baby steps, and will give you a lot of solid background information on that as well. The other item that I thought was really helpful that he's offering everyone right now is called Foundations in Personal Finance, the high school edition for self-study. And that is normally $120, and he's offering it right now for just $19.99. Hmm. So if you have younger people in your household, or even yourself, if you've never given yourself a great foundation, might be something to look at right now. I just noticed those and thought I'd share with our group, since especially the Total Money Makeover, because that is really a great foundational book on the baby steps that we're constantly referring back to.
Awesome. I love it. Thank you for that.
Yeah. Yeah. He did say, stay tuned. They're going to be posting more specials as they can come up with them while not losing money themselves. So I thought that was really helpful that they're, you know, putting some helpful tools out there.
Yep.
All right. So car fleecing. One, it's always more expensive than buying. If you're looking at a car lease, that means that you can't afford that car. And dealerships are going to be very good to try and get you into that brand new car that's sitting in their showroom that you're just drooling over, and you think you can't afford it because you see the purchase price sticker on the window, they'll say, oh, no. If you lease it, the payment is half of that. So don't be tempted by that, because they're always going to be more expensive than buying. And we'll talk about how in a minute here. But think about it as well. The rule doesn't change. If you start bringing a brand new car off of the lot, which leases are nearly all the time brand new cars, you're driving a rapidly depreciating asset. So you are the sucker, the big sucker, who's taking all the depreciation for this asset that then you're going to turn in after 3 to 5 years, depending on your contract term. Speaking of contract terms, there are limits on time and mileage. So you're kind of shackled with what you can do on your contract. There are huge excess mileage fees. But if you don't use all your mileage, you don't get a credit for those. Of course not. You know, if you run into hard times, you can't get out of a lease. Not well, you can, but it's very difficult. So the leasing company, a couple of things could happen. The leasing company could recover the car, and that's a nice way of saying repossess. Because you don't own it.
Yeah.
Well, you don't own it, so it's not a repossession. It would be a recovery, because it's just a loan, basically a rental, a long-term rental. And then they would sell it at auction, but the amount that they sell it for is not going to come close to what's still owed by you on the lease contract. The other option is sometimes you can do a sublease or what's called an assignment. I actually had some familiarity with this, but the lender, so like if you do a lease through, I don't know, pick a company, through GM, usually GM would have to then approve the person that you're assigning the lease to. Mm-hmm. And so that they would have to qualify under the same terms that you qualified for. So it's not like you can just sign it over to your sister, Sally. The lease amount doesn't change. So even if you get in a car accident and the car is totaled, if you decided to get fleeced, make sure you get gap insurance. And gap insurance is what covers the amount of the value of the car when it gets totaled versus the amount that still remains on your contract. Again, because it is a rapidly, and I mean rapidly, depreciating asset, that gap is going to be super wide for at least the first couple of years. So you, again, you don't own the car, but you're still responsible for repairs. And a lot of people say, oh, I like leases because it's under warranty and it's, you know, there's a maintenance plan, everything is covered, but not everything is covered by warranty. So if something big comes up and it's not covered, you're still responsible. And then you turn it in at the end of the lease and you have no benefit for making that repair. Speaking of turning in, there's huge additional turn-in fees for anything that they would deem as exceeding normal wear and tear. So dents, anything larger than like a coin, you're going to get charged for dents, stains, if there are any stains in the seat. Basically, they want to be able to resell this car in a like new condition. So if your car is not in like new condition, like if you have dog hair, you know, mashed into the carpet, you're going to get dinged for that because they're going to have to pay someone to do an excessive cleaning on it.
And this is the vehicles that all of us, all our listeners should be buying, not buying the new ones. We're not letting the these suckers get sucked into the, suckers.
Yes.
It's a technical term. Suckers, let them do the depreciation because after 2 years, a lot of it, 40% typically, is gone. And now your depreciation is a lot slower because you bought it 2 years old.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yep. These are great deals to go ahead and pick up as usually they're certified new because they get turned back into the dealership and the dealership goes through, you know, a multi-point inspection to make sure it's in tip-top shape. Mm-hmm. And you can get a really great deal that it's still subject to the manufacturer warranty. So these are excellent cars to pick up used once they're turned back in from their lease. So some people say, well, I'm just going to lease and then I'll buy it at the end of my lease. Ooh. Well, that's also much more expensive to buy at the end of the lease. You're going to end up paying much higher than the actual original sticker price was if you've been making payments on a lease first and then you do the buyout at the end.
So I have a financial calculator. It's an app on my phone.
Okay.
And if you go backwards with a lease, a typical lease, the interest rate, if you were to, let's say you're trying to compare it to buying it. The interest rate on a lease ends up being like 14.2% on average is what you're paying of what everything Amanda's trying to tell you. I mean, would you go to a car lot and say, oh, I want that new car, but, and 14.2% sounds awesome. I'll sign that dotted line. That's basically what you're doing.
Not unless you had terrible credit.
Right. Well, yeah. I mean, if you go to CarMax and try and do a used car and you finance it, it's like 7 or 8%. You're not paying 14.2. So think about it that way. Would you really sign on the dotted line for that? And then all the other stuff that you just talked about, all the damage you caused. Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah. And then, you know, you can't make any customizations because, again, you don't own the car. With very few exceptions, you know, such as professional window tinting, you would actually need, you need to bring the car back in the same condition it left the showroom in, you know, minus any usual wear and tear. It has to be exactly like it was configured when you first leased it.
You mean so, like no spinners or?
No spinners, no spoilers, you know, no fancy exhaust systems.
Oh, you take all the fun out of everything.
Yeah. If you lease one car after another, I know a lot of people who do that. They turn in a lease and then just roll into the very next lease so that they always have the latest and greatest. Same thing happens with cell phones, guys. Mm-hmm. But, you know, if you're leasing one car after another, monthly payments will just go on forever. By contrast, the longer you keep a vehicle after a loan is paid off, the more value you get out of it. It's a really liberating feeling not to have any type of automobile payment each month. And, you know, over the long term, as we've said a number of times before, the cheapest way to drive is to buy a car and keep it until the wheels fall off. You know, obviously keeping up with regular maintenance so that the wheels don't literally fall off.
I usually go about 12 years.
Yeah.
And then things start creeping. I'm like, okay. And that's my cue. I try and go 10, obviously, and see how far I can go. And then, I'm like, okay, it's time to go get another one. Then I try and pay cash for it.
Yeah. Yeah, I think the last car I had, I think I had it for 6 years, which was pretty good for me. Yeah. But it had serious issues that actually the repairs would have cost more than than it was worth. Okay, so that's really all I had to say. But remember, we talked a few episodes ago about some multimillionaires and what type of cars they drive. Remember, Warren Buffett drives around a used, well, some reports are a used pickup, others are that he's driving around a, you know, a used Cadillac. But in any case, he's not flashy. And, no. And he's I guarantee you, even if I haven't fact checked this myself, but I would be willing to put, you know, my own personal money down on a bet that he is not driving a leased vehicle.
No, he's not in a big mansion either.
No, no, he's still living in the same house in Omaha. What is it, Omaha, that he bought 30 years ago or many years ago. But he's wealthy because he knows that possessions are a horrible investment, and they, you know, they rarely buy happiness.
Right.
So, you know, similarly, leasing a car doesn't build any kind of financial value. So not only is it not buying you happiness, it's not building your wealth portfolio.
Other than going to rent a center, that's probably the next worst thing you could do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, don't rent your furniture.
And don't rent your car.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, that's what it is. It's a long-term rental.
Don't finance your lingerie.
Don't finance your underwear. Yeah.
There you go. All right. Wow, that was a packed show of us telling them what not to do.
Yeah.
So did we give them permission to do anything in this show? Go to the Garrett Planning Network.
Yeah. Go to the Garrett Planning Network in order to look for a fee-only advisor.
Yeah. Trying to be more positive, but we're trying to... this episode's about protecting you guys because...
Protect.
Oh, they're coming on hard right now. And during bad times, that's what they do. They prey on you when you're panicking. So
that's right.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you very much, Amanda.
All right.
And as always, a quick reminder, check out our website, rockonthemoney.com. We have show notes. All the podcasts are located right there. The website turns into a player. You can play it right on your phone. Plus, there's links there so you can subscribe to the podcast on your favorite platforms, including Apple, Google, Stitcher, Spotify, and TuneIn. And if you could leave us a review and some star ratings on those platforms, it really, really helps us out a lot. Check out our Facebook group community with over 3,000 people in there. Facebook.com/groups/your401k. And also check out our Facebook page at Rock on the Money. So long, everybody. We really, really do have a lot of gratitude for you listening, sharing, and spreading the word. You guys are great. Amanda and I cannot emphasize how much we appreciate you guys. So long, and we'll see you again next week. Until next time, America. America's Rockland, USA. All opinions expressed by the host are solely their own and do not reflect the views of any company, affiliates, or advertisers. Investments or strategies mentioned in the show may not be suitable for you. Before acting on any information in the show, you should consider whether it is suitable for your particular circumstances and strongly consider seeking advice from your own financial or investment advisor.